It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. 10 to 2. On 670 The...
Has it finally set in that the Bears beat the Packers yet? For me, I think it was last night. I finally accepted it. Like, wholeheartedly, because I was still in disbelief. I can't believe they won that game mode until last night. And then I was like, they won that game. They won.
Pinch me, this must be a dream.
Mr. Edison, I should have probably warned you.
Yeah, you probably should, but why spoil the fun?
Preparing for the show Monday morning, so I needed that second day to let it all settle in. I think that's when I was literally walking to work Monday morning is when I was like, you know what? The Bears are still alive, and they beat the Packers to do it.
Life is good.
Where I am is the adrenaline factor. Yeah. It's like all day yesterday, I was still at a 10. On my walk home yesterday, I was like, I gotta do something to zap some of this. So I put System of a Down through my head and through my ears.
Wake up, wake up! What did you put it on the backup? Wake up!
Patrick Manley, like, are you... When did it set in for you that the Bears actually won that game?
Today.
I thought I made a pretty strong case last week for reasons why the Packers were going to win the game.
Yeah, how do you feel this week, buddy?
Woo! Well, it's sort of like, no, yeah, I deserve it. I deserve it. I deserve it.
Yeah, you do. I'm you deserve kind, all of it.
Shame. Shame.
Yeah, there's been some. Let's just put it this way. I've been given a warning. I've been properly warned for picking the Packers to beat the Bears in a playoff game.
This has nothing to do with that, all right?
I'm sorry. Then do you mind explaining it a little better? Because I'm not sure what's really.
Whoa, don't get all defensive, all right? It's just a warning.
How would you handle this on a team, Patrick? Like, what's the appropriate? Is there a fine? Like, what happened?
I didn't play for the Bears, by the way. I just want that to be made very clear.
Okay, maybe not Bears.
Throw Grody into the cold tub. Put Grody in the cold tub.
Cold tubs, then that's too good. It's good for you.
Olin and Big Cat would grab you by the ankles and the wrist and then dip you into the cold tub.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score. The
Score. We got to ask Olin Krutz about throwing people into the cold tub when he comes on at 125.
I don't know how much he's going to want to tell us about previous experiences doing that, but I am curious to know.
Oh, yeah, me too. Or at least what constituted it. Yeah, I'm definitely curious.
What draws that sort of penalty?
Here, poor Mark Grody thought that picking against his team would result in some sort of monetary punishment because, you know, NFL players ball out.
He's like, I'll take a fine.
Yeah, no. Your fine is paying with your body. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And just in time for our Twitch viewers, it is Fluffy Sweater Edition. Ray and I are both in our fleece jackets. Because it's freezing outside, so we're nice and warm at our studio, hanging out with you, so thanks for being cozy. Marshall's got the Sherpa with us. And I know we've had so much fun with the villainry and the WWE-type storylines and the NASCAR-type storylines that come with the rivalry of now, not only Bears-Packers, but Ben Johnson and Matt LaFleur. Now we flip the script quite a bit. When you consider the best offense in the league is coming to town and Sean McVay and the Rams and Matt Stafford and his crew. And the vibes are much different coming on after the Packers. This is quite the game recognizes game type discussion that's going on between the Bears and the Rams head coaches.
Basically, these head coaches have said, game recognized game, you look real familiar to me right now.
That's it. Sean McVay... And I feel like Kyle Shanahan, those are two of the architects of modern NFL offense. And while people can remix those and they can add their own steps to it, you know, the concept of, for example, John Shoup inspiring Ben Johnson, making the same things look different and different things look the same, that is very much a Sean McVay principle as well. So this is Ben Johnson on Monday talking about the Rams head coach.
I think it's hard to gauge who's best and who's worst when it comes to the coaching sometimes, but there's no question about it. He is on the upper echelon. He does a phenomenal job. He has ever since he got to LA. All of his teams are really well prepared. There's no doubt that he's super sharp in the offensive side, but I think how he does it as a head coach, bringing all three phases together is really critical to their success. I think he does a great job. Knows how to speak to the team with the pulse of the team and get the most out of them. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why they're in it damn near every year since he's been there.
So when you hear that, that is admiration and respect. One of the times where I thought Ben Johnson during the season, you could tell how much he really likes certain individuals, certain players, was when you heard him talk about Dak Prescott going into the Cowboys game and what made him so good. That let me know what Ben Johnson really likes in a quarterback. And we are still learning about him in this first season for him as a head coach, even though we're in the playoffs. So to see Ben Johnson talk about Sean McVay that way lets you know what he values about his system and how he puts all of this together.
You know what he values? Above all else, points. And the Rams had the highest scoring offense in the NFL. And if you go back to last season, you know whose offense was the highest scoring in the NFL? Ben Johnson's, as the offensive coordinator with the Detroit Lions. And clearly, he's not quite there yet with this group, especially considering how they started the season. But the progress has come in. And if you look at just, let's say, last week, right? The only team that had more total offense than the Los Angeles Rams was the Chicago Bears. And they were the top two scoring teams in the wild card round. So that sets up really this chess match between two of the brightest and youngest minds when you talk about play calling on offense against two defenses that have things they do well, but also have some holes in them, if you will.
Are you kidding me? Two defenses that have holes in them. You don't say.
I'm just saying.
We might have to prepare for a very special episode of Pac-12 After Dark again, Sunday night over at Soldier Field. This might look a lot similar to what we saw out of the 49ers game.
Yeah, and I think Bears fans understand that. I think they have really attached themselves to this idea that we may not be able to stop you, but doggone it, we can run with you. And even the loss to the Niners that you just referenced, I think that's why Bears fans felt so good. I feel like that's the best Bears fans felt after a loss all season long. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, it showed a lot of progress. When you're able to run with the 49ers and that quality, and frankly, the quality of that division, which is where the majority of the Rams' losses came from, then that gives you an indication. But getting back to the topic at hand when it comes to the game recognizes game aspect of this, Sean McVay also, and he's no stranger to talking about other teams, and you know he's gone viral in the way he can rattle off every single player's name and what they do well, and that's gone viral before, as we've seen. So he was also asked about what he's seen out of Ben Johnson as a play-calling head coach.
I think he does a great job. You know, I've studied him really closely from when he took over and started doing it in Detroit, and I think the guys that do the best job are the ones that you can see there's a true understanding of, you know, what defenses are doing and an intent to try to be able to manipulate a lot of the rules and the coaching points and to really try to attack your front mechanics, your coverage contours, understand some of the percentages of what you're doing situationally, and then being able to maximize his player skill sets. I mean, you can see there's a philosophy and a core beliefs in terms of how he wants to build it. You know, you look at the free agents they sign, you look at the guys that they drafted high up, you know, taking the tight end and a lot of the instances where he was able to take advantage of Laporta in Detroit. But I think what shows his flexibility is the ability to have one of the best offenses, you know, with a player like Jared, who's really special, and then being able to have, you know, some similar foundational principles with Caleb, but also be able to accentuate the things that make him really unique with the athleticism, the ability to move the spot and then take advantage of their skill around it. So he does a damn good job. I think he's got a timely feel for when to be able to mix in some things like he did with the screen and go that allowed them to take the lead the other day. But we're excited about these challenges. This is what it's about. And, you know, here we go.
So when we hear that, it's obvious he's not calling plays for Sam Laporta and company anymore. Tyler Buterbaugh with the deep dive on that one. Tyler, where did you find that play clip?
So that one I found, as far as I went through the Rams YouTube page and was listening to that, and it was like one of the first questions that they asked McVay about that, and I just thought it was just from two mastermind offensive play callers, like, this is just a great duel of between the two of these head coaches.
No, it's true. And frankly, the branches of the trees overlap, right? When you consider the Shanahan coaching tree goes back to Mike, the dad of Kyle, obviously. And then this is like the latest of the branches when you consider Sean McVay, frankly, Matt LaFleur, you know, and how this modern offense has now taken place. For all of the coaching tree discussion that we've done, especially when you're looking for candidates and you consider how McVay came into the league, he was hired in his early 30s, right? Wasn't he 33 when he got hired to be the head coach?
It was a shocking thing. They were like, this guy's way too young to be a head coach, except immediately he proved he was not.
And not just that, but we thought that when they had their first wave of success, maybe McVay would move on. That hasn't been the case. And that tree keeps giving. You know, former Sean McVay assistants in no particular order include Matt LaFleur, Joe Barry, Ejiro Rivero, Jed Fish, Kevin O'Connell, Wes Phillips, Brandon Staley, and that name should sound familiar here because he was a part of the Bears staff at one point on the defense, Zach Taylor, and yes, Shane Waldron. But when you have a tree that is at least that successful, where you have that many people into it, it just goes to show, even shaping the NFC North, that's a part of what he has done. So it would make sense that Ben Johnson recognizes that. If you have eyes and watch football, you recognize the success of these systems in the NFL for sure. And then you understand how it plays out in the league.
With a guy like him who was 32 when he won the NFC and went to the Super Bowl for the first time as a head coach, got his start at age 31 as the head coach of the Rams, you have to acknowledge that the tree there is giving all kinds of fruit, so much so that even if you get maybe a rotten piece of fruit every now and again, everybody's willing to taste it because they see the success that's coming off that tree.
Well, I mean, Shane Waldron was fine when he was with the Seahawks, not so much here.
Was he fine with the Seahawks? Because yeah. Some people would tell you he wasn't fine when he was with the Seahawks.
But he was employed for multiple years, and guess who came off of that tree? Dave Canales, coaching to a very good game as an opponent of the Rams last week.
That is very fair, and that's one of those things where you look at, I think from a Bears standpoint, you're just trying to figure out, okay, we understand on paper they're probably better because the record says so. There's four teams left in the NFC. There's the Bears and the NFC West. Like that tells the story, does it not?
Pretty sure I called that one.
You did.
The NFC West was just, if you watched any of the games, every single one of them was very high scoring and exciting. I don't think this is going to be any different. And a lot of people have told us, thanks for giving us the heads up here on our text line, 312-644-6767. And Dustin Rhodes mentioned it on the morning show. The over-under has dropped to 49 now.
Why?
It was over 50.
I think some people had it at 51.5 on Monday.
Yeah.
So what?
Well, maybe weather plays into that a bit, you know, with the weather being more accurate the closer we get to the date of the game.
Maybe so, but I think I'm going to take a shot at 49. The over, I'm saying.
No, I think that I rarely will just proclaim something like that on the air, but when you feel it in your bones that the over is going to hit, it's worth the sweat.
Well, they're going to feel something in their bones when they take the football field in those conditions on Sunday night, wherever the final low temperature ends up being.
How about Allen Robinson, by the way, detailing us yesterday what it's like to catch the ball as a receiver when it comes to notably cold temperatures?
Right.
And you know what's funny is when he said that, you know what I immediately thought of was how many times we were seeing attempts at peanut punches. For that reason, when the ball's more slick, you can force a turnover better. Do you know what team I know knows how to force a turnover or two?
Is it the team that's overdue to force a turnover because they didn't for the first time all season in a win, the Chicago Bears?
Los Osos, but they still won the game, so that's good.
Yes.
But that's kind of the idea here is there are stops to be had. And for people who point out that, yeah, the Rams are once again the greatest show on whichever turf offensively, they still have ways to be stopped. And frankly, they've stopped themselves at times where you didn't think it was the likelihood. And knowing Matt Stafford for so many years, yes, that is part of it. However, At 37, he's in a career season. And that's what makes this so challenging. We are looking at the Spider-Man meme to end all Spider-Man memes on Sunday. When you consider the play callers that Sean McVay and Ben Johnson are, when you consider the strengths of these offenses, and frankly, you know, some of the weaknesses of the defenses.
How much do you feel like the advantage goes to Sean McVay sheerly because of the experience of having gone to multiple Super Bowls, having been doing this for way more years than Ben Johnson has from a head coaching standpoint? Because it's easy to say Spider-Man meme when you're talking about offensive dynamics and play calling and all of that. But I feel like that's got to count for something. I'm just not sure how much weight it carries.
So here's the thing about that is I feel like with the Bears, take for example, the discussion that has really bloomed, and Kaylin Kaler was on this. She was on the afternoon show yesterday. Definitely recommend go back and listen if you didn't hear it. But the concept of changing your game plan because of the data you have. And that's what happened for the Bears. They ran for it on fourth down. They went for it more often because they knew that the Packers had, especially over the previous month, dominated time of possession. That includes the game against the Bears in week 16. So that said, you had a feeling, or this week 17, my bad. So that said, you have a feeling that you have to do this in order to be able to move the ball effectively. One of those fourths is going to hit. You're going to have to use that drive because you don't know when you're getting the ball back. And not because of your defense necessarily, but because that has been the style of the play calling and the drives that these Matt LaFleur teams had put together. So that said, how does that strategy change this week? When it comes to the playoff aspect of it, I think the Bears' strategy arm is good enough to where it supersedes the playoffs not necessarily affecting these practices. I think if you establish best practices, similar to what we saw there, deploying your game plan regardless, then I have a feeling that playoffs are not going to change it that much just because it's the postseason. So I don't necessarily know if Sean McVay and his crew would change what they're doing so much so because of the postseason. Did you get that impression from the game against the Panthers last week?
No, I felt like they played it almost similarly to the way they played it against the Panthers the first time, and they lost that game, by the way.
Well, and math may have done them a favor there, because what happens? The more times you see a team, the more often the outcome will happen that the better team will win the game.
Yeah, if you play a team once, the team that's worse has a better chance of winning than if you, say, play the game 100 times and expect the worst team to win more than 50% of the time.
Wow, we got another update on the under. At least this is from BetMGM. They just moved it again. I feel like we're on underwatch. Underwatch. So the over is now at 48.5. So it just moved off of 49. According to 815.
I'm going to have to see where this lands and if this is weather-driven or not. When I get to talk to some meteorologists later today.
And we're going to talk to some meteorologists.
That is the plan.
Yes. So we have that in store for you later this week on Raheemy Harris and Grody. We broadcast live through the Scores Hyundai Studios. You just heard Marshall Harris. I'm Layla Raheemy. Our producers are Ray Diaz and Tyler Buterbaugh. Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You can call us and text us 312-644-6767. We've gotten not only updates on the total, we've gotten updates on the Lil Wayne and Caleb Williams saga. So Wayne apologized to Caleb. That's what everybody's saying on Twitter, so that's good.
Oh, I got to see this.
And apparently, according to 414, Caleb responded to Wayne's apology. So thanks for that. We appreciate the heads up real time. Our Twitch mob does that as well, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score is a show within a show on the chat. And we're on YouTube. Our address is 670 The Score, and our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, Max Curtis, Cody Westerlin helping us out as well. Coming up next here on Raheemy Harris and Grody, we talked a lot about the two coaches. Well, what about the two quarterbacks? Our man Tyler Buterbaugh did a deep dive going years back, or at least a year back, on some of this audio that he found from Matt Stafford talking about Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams was also discussing the league's passing leader in Stafford. So we'll hear that next.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Raheemy Harris and Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
What about Stafford's game? Do you really?
Yeah, he out first. I'd say he controls the game. As a quarterback, he knows how to get in and out of things efficiently. He knows where people are going to be. He knows where the defensive players are going to be, so he can move them.
That was Caleb Williams the week of the Rams game last year, where, if you recall, the Bears, despite having a 10-game losing streak last year, the Bears beat the Rams.
Yes.
The Rams had a lot of injuries, but the Bears beat the Rams.
Puka Nacua did not play. I'm just going to start with that. No, you're right. At the end of the day has to end. And the day ended with the Bears beating the Rams.
But you have heard of me.
Yes.
You're the worst pirate I've ever heard of, but you have heard of me.
So you mentioned as we were going to break that Caleb Williams and Lil Wayne, the saga continues, except for Lil Wayne graciously coming with an apology of sorts.
Yeah, because if you don't know, Lil Wayne went after Caleb Williams pretty hard on Twitter. There was a lot of petty happening, so Petty Industries had to siphon its resources and divide and conquer. We didn't get to everything. One of the things we didn't get to was the Lil Wayne calling out Caleb Williams, because I don't like talking about the way he called him out, you know, brings up his nails. It's just unnecessary. It's not relevant to the argument. And he was mad about losing to Caleb Williams, which... Well, Wayne, you got company. A lot of people are mad about losing to the Bears on Sunday. But you don't have to bring up stuff. It just doesn't matter. So I was like, man, I'm not acknowledging this. But I do acknowledge conflict resolution. And we got the updates from a lot of people on our text line. Thank you. That Lil Wayne apologized to Caleb Williams. Now, when you read this, does it not read like a song? So should we do this together?
I'm going to let you do it.
Hey, Caleb, don't mind me, bro. I'm just a cheesehead for life. And you're just a killer, and you killed us bad. Each time and for that, you get praise just you're for me. And then he throws up the praise hands. He typed, I love the game. I-L-U-H. I love the game. And it'd be impossible to make that statement without acknowledging and admiring your game, King. You a beast, but you're still a bear. And then he ends it with a cheese emoji. And the whole time I'm reading it with this in the background.
Wee, wee, wee.
It pretty much reads like a song or a lyric that he would write.
I really wish we had like a video of Lil Wayne saying this because of his unique voice. Like, yes. The scratchy voice.
He does.
Hey, Caleb.
He sounds like, I can't even do it. I can't hit that high.
Hey, Caleb,
don't mind me, bro. I'm just a cheesehead for life. And you just a killer. And you killed us bad each time. And for that, you get the praise. Gesture for me. I love the game. And you be.
It's like, I love the game. But that's too low. That's not high enough to be Wayne.
You a beast, but you still a man.
That's it. Thank you.
That's it.
But it's funny because and Ray, if you must know, has been listening and watching a lot of the Big Joe, the Fat Joe and Jada podcast.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Which is hilarious, objectively.
It is, but it will make you understand how people's brains work when they write songs, I think, after that. And Lil Wayne wrote this like he would write a song.
Also,
he wrote it musically.
Caleb quote tweeted that. He did respond. Wheez, it's all love. Hashtag bear down, though. Let him know he ain't letting up.
Wee, wee, wee.
Foot on your throat. Your whole organization's throat.
That whole exchange, the apology, just reads like the instrumental to Mrs. Officer for me.
I like it. You know what?
That's usually what happens. There's some interlude going on in the back of my head at all times.
I mean, they beat the Packers this season like, you know, like a state trooper on a power trip. You know
also,
what I'm
credit to Wayne for actually acknowledging his offense.
He was in his feelings. And when we're in your feelings, hurt people, what do?
Hurt people.
Also, I'm dying at the meme in the comments where it says Bears Twitter and Wayne, and it's the Bloods and the Crips holding up the red and blue bandanas.
Oh,
like,
that's
you guys
classic.
Are wild for that.
That is classic.
That.
So that conflict has now been resolved. And like we said earlier, the beef is still there between other entities. In fact, we'll get to that in our next segment. The Matt LaFleur, Ben Johnson saga. Well, it ain't ending anytime soon, but the rest of the league has caught on to what appears to be actual drama. Like, not manufactured stuff.
No, like good old-fashioned NBA drama.
But let it be known that Wayne is not about that. Wayne was about conflict resolution.
He tapped out.
He did. But it is a nice way. Acknowledging Kayla Williams is the right thing to do. And I do feel like there are a lot of fan bases who didn't like what they were seeing or maybe thought it was a fluke. Like we joked about the Bears record and being like, whatever the record was at the time, you're the worst winning team I've ever heard of. But you have heard of me.
But you have heard of me.
Well, this keeps going. And, you know, now it's extended to this divisional game, their first playoff win in 15 years. So there
you are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.
Still one of the best lines. And they've graduated from that statement. Yeah, when you're a member of the final four that are left in the NFC, then the respect should be there. And Caleb Williams did talk about Matt Stafford, as we heard. Well, this is great investigative work out of our producer, Tyler Butabaugh, who found Matt Stafford talking on the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray. This is from last year, Tyler. When is this from? From this weekend. So the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray this weekend, talking about what he's seen out of Caleb Williams.
It's unbelievable. His talent is really shining through this year. You know, we saw it at USC, and it's difficult to step in the NFL year one and play the way you want to play year two, all those things. But he's found a great fit with Coach Johnson over there. I think Ben's doing a hell of a job. It's a good thing to watch. He makes plays outside the pocket that not many guys, if any guys in the NFL can make. And he's doing a nice job inside the pocket as well this year. So it'll be a big test for our defense, big test for our team, really just going there and trying to come away with a victory. But what he's doing is pretty special, and especially the late game stuff and his ability to make plays off schedule is second to none in the league right now, if you ask me.
This is such a stark contrast to the things we heard leading up to the game last week. And on the one hand, I'm like, oh, that's so respectful. On the other hand, man, I want a little more. I need a little more grit to my talk leading up to a game.
Here's the issue: is if you know that you at 37 years old,
he's grown
4,707 yards in the regular season, and that you've got one of the best receivers in the league in Puka Nacua, and a guy who is absolutely no slouch in Davante Adams, and your running game is solid. What you know you can score into a game and score at least 35 points if you're the Rams. 40 should be the expectation. Yeah, you're probably giving everybody compliments who you think is good because you know that your team is pretty good itself.
Also, Matthew Stafford at 37 years is a whole adult. He is 2 years away from his head coach's age. They are the adults in the proverbial room. I know guys on that team, like the young guys, the rookies, second-year players, they're looking at him like, oh, this old dude, he's definitely Unc, if not Gramps. So, like, he's just going to sound much more mature than anything we heard coming out of the Packers locker room in general. But also, he shared the stage, if you will, with Caleb Williams because they both played in the highest, you know, profile positions in a city football related. One was the quarterback at USC, winning Heisman. Mm-hmm. The other one on a Rams team that's already gotten a Super Bowl.
Well, and in Georgia, you know, he was one of the initial recruits that really kind of elevated even higher that program's caliber, Stafford. It's funny, though, because we know him previously before he got traded to the Rams as being a quarterback that had a ton of talent, but also had as much risk. And frankly, opposing teams would capitalize on that risk as he had reward. So because of that, we look at him through a different lens. And the blue he wears now is different from the Honolulu blue he wore in Detroit. And not only have you seen him flourish, but you've seen some of the mistakes in that game minimized now. I thought about this in the break, and I mentioned it to David Haw. What would the Rams or what would the Lions offense have been with Ben Johnson and Matt Stafford together?
I think, honestly, I think the Bears would be the number one seed in the NFC. Because you're not going to go
well,
through
no,
this.
I'm saying when Ben had the Lions.
Oh, with the Lions. I'm sorry.
If Matt Stafford had remained with the Lions and Ben Johnson was their OC then?
They may have won the Super Bowl. Like, that's how good Matthew Stafford is. Like, Matthew Stafford is more talented than Jared Goff.
Or would he have not taken that jump that he has taken, even though he was already good? Would he have not gotten to his greatest point if he wasn't with Sean McVay? Like, that's the thing about the coaching and how this matters so much and how you see somebody's potential be unlocked. And you're seeing it in progress, of course, with Caleb Williams. You're seeing Ben Johnson get all of this out of him in his first season.
It's a great hypothetical. I would I don't know if, because they're two different coaches, obviously, they're similar in their dynamic play calling, but I don't know if the same result happens for Matthew Stafford. I think he puts up the major numbers that Jared Goff puts up, but I don't know as far as postseason how far they go, because that's more than just the quarterback and the offensive play calling.
Well, and I got the impression that that trade was as much about getting assets as it was about fits. Sean McVay thought that Matt Stafford was an ideal fit for his offense. Ben, I think I don't know if it was the same feeling for Jared Goff on the Lions side at the time, but clearly it's worked, right? Clearly that has worked out for all involved. And yeah, I think this is a good point out of 219. Lil Wayne used to paint his nails. He used to paint them black.
Lil Wayne used to kiss the guy that runs his former record label, Cash Money. Birdman? A guy named Baby Birdman.
On the mouth.
Yeah, kissed him on the mouth. So, you know.
Do you know why Lil Wayne's a Packers fan? We found that out. And, of course, it goes back to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. His dad brought home a ton of team merchandise after the Packers won Super Bowl 31. And that's why he became a Packers fan. What if some other team had played in New Orleans? We wouldn't be dealing with Wayne in this way.
I always feel bad for guys who, as I like to say, catch football late, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, he was 15 when that happened. He might have been 14, actually, because I don't think he would have turned 15 that year. So he's 14 years old, and he's obviously not rocking with the Saints like that. But I understand it, because the Saints weren't good.
No, they didn't get good until later when Sean Payton and them got together. Drew Brees and all.
It reminds me of Anthony Davis's reasons of he wasn't really into football until he got to Kentucky, becomes friends with Randall Cobb. And that's, he says, I'll follow wherever Randall Cobb gets drafted. And of course, Randall Cobb, an All-American receiver at Kentucky, gets drafted by the Packers. And that's why this man is a Packers fan, because he said the Bears weren't really doing anything. And is he lying? The Bears weren't really doing anything.
And then he was loyal to an individual as opposed to a particular team, and then became loyal to the team.
But the team's biggest arch rival? That's what, your hometown's biggest arch rival? Come on, man.
Bah. We want to know, are you a local business owner or employee? How would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 60 right here on The Score? And for the first time, I think, since when we've done this contest, you've gotten the best chance ever at possibly broadcasting it when the Bears are in the Super Bowl.
Two wins away.
Here is your chance. We have brought back the Score Big for Your Business contest, where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 60 from Westwood One. And new this year, you can win a live broadcast for your brand. Log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. Deadline to enter is this Sunday. Score Big for Your Business is sponsored by People's Bank, where better banking keeps moving forward. Member FDIC. So while there is mutual admiration, or at least appreciation, of Caleb Williams and Matt Stafford, there's still that whole issue with the Packers and what appears to be an ongoing story now in the NFL. Normally, we don't play audio from Stephen A. Smith on this show, but given what he said, it sounds like there's some growing discussion in the league and in league circles that might lead back even to the next opponent regarding how they feel about Ben Johnson. We'll play it next.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Talked about, like, between you and LaFleur, you know, the two wins things, the handshakes, beyond, you know, getting this important playoff win, why is this important to you, or is there something personal beyond that?
This is a rivalry, and City of Chicago, Green Bay, it needs to be a rivalry.
Well, Ben Johnson told you as much, and it has slowly percolated throughout the rest of the NFL and has made its way to all of the talk shows, not just ours, but the national ones as well. There's also a bit of an update here. This came across from an interview that Adam Schefter did with Jen Latta's show, The Morning Show at ESPN Milwaukee. Jen, of course, used to work here. And it says, This is from Adam Schefter on the negotiations between Matt LaFleur and Ed Policy. Quote, there is no deal right now, and it's a negotiation. There could be a breakthrough at any moment, and I think both sides would like to make that happen. But it's now Wednesday, and they have been trying to do this for a while. The longer it lingers, the more you wonder. How I would interpret it right now is it's up in the air.
Could Matt LaFleur be a guy in Pittsburgh?
Matt LaFleur could be a guy in many, many NFL teams' eyes, including the Packers. He's, say what you want, but he's still one of the best coaches in the league.
He's had some meltdowns this season, but yes, I agree with your overall sentiment. He's been successful in that, in an expanded playoff, he's able to get his team in there year after year. I am curious as to how that turns out. That shakes out. That is one of those seismic type things that could happen that would really affect this division. NFC North could end up looking like the AFC North, where, you know, they've got one coach left.
Well, also, it's really hard, even though you know that injuries to the quarterback were an issue, injuries to one of the top five talents in the league who you traded defensively was an issue, but losing five straight just doesn't look good to end a season, and to lose in that way catastrophically, I assume, you know, that's playing a bigger part in this than a lot of people realized when it came to his job security. Now, all of that said, the notable beef between Ben Johnson and Matt LaFleur has elevated to places like ESPN's First Take. Here's what Stephen A. Smith said regarding Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson.
It's bad enough where friends of Matt LaFleur around the league who will remain nameless can't stand Ben Johnson. Because of the feelings and the treatment they know he has towards Matt LaFleur. So the point that I'm telling you, this is me, I ain't giving you an opinion. I'm telling you what I was told.
Deep in thought, Marshall Harris.
I think him saying he's not giving you an opinion is him letting you know this is sourced information that he is giving you, that people do not like Ben Johnson because they are riding with Matt LaFleur. And
well, we could all name one who probably doesn't, and that's Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm saying the Matt LaFleur camp, if you will.
Yeah, and we just told you about the connections. You know, he comes off of that, for example, Kyle Shanahan coaching tree.
So related to that is the fact that you got to go back to who fired the first shot in this beef. It was Ben Johnson, let's be honest.
At his introductory press conference.
Introductory press conference. You know, people say, keep your name out of my mouth. He literally name-checked Matt LaFleur on day one and said, not only did he say he enjoyed beating him twice a year, it's the way he said it. Like, if you saw it, he was like, I'm making sure I get this comment through. I'm going to slip this in. It was not subtle. It was very direct. And then the next time we hear from Matt LaFleur, he's talking about, I don't even know this guy.
And what did he do, Marshall?
He beat him twice in the initial season.
Came to fulfill the prophecy.
I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
I'm thinking I'm the best coach in America.
Well, that was out of context. That was out of context.
But it was said straight out of his mouth.
I love it. I love all of it. I'm here for it, and I like that other people are mad. Look, we talked about Caleb Williams being the next villain in the NFL. What if you had a 1-2 villainous punch? Matt LaFleur is out here helping to create the villain that is Ben Johnson, along with Caleb Williams. That's a nice, like, if you look at all-time, like, villainous duos, they could give people a run for their money.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the thing about a villain is you have to be respected. Like, you actually have to be successful enough to be considered one, and that's what makes it so compelling.
Yeah, this is Darth Vader level. This is not Elmer Fudd, where, like, you know in the cartoon he's the bad guy chasing around Bugs Bunny, but he's also a bumbling idiot. This is a situation where Darth Vader comes through and he gonna grip you up like Luther Burden did after that first down celebration. You know, they're trying to put the Packers and really, let's be honest, everybody else in the NFL in a chokehold. They're not here for just a rivalry. They want to win the Super Bowl.
Well, at 847 says it good. I don't want other coaches to like Ben Johnson. I want a winner. That's it. And when it doesn't apply is of the phrase, if you can't beat them, join them. You want to come hang with us? if you don't like the results of the last, I don't know, 15, 20, name it years, then maybe the Bears are for you. Come to the Bears. If you've got an issue with a lot of people who have shaped the modern NFL right now, and maybe it's a bit of a click right now, and you want to disrupt the system, the Bears are for you. Come to the Bears. We're seeing that. It's good that the Bears are being disruptive. It's what happened. what happens when a team that suddenly comes up onto the scene is successful? Well, the old guard doesn't like that too much now, do they?
The way baseball fans talk about the Yankees, the way football fans talk about the Patriots, is that not how you want people to talk about teams in Chicago?
Hey, hold on. We've seen it before. The way the Chicago Bulls were viewed in the days of Michael Jordan.
Exactly.
Don't forget the Sports Illustrated cover. Are the Bulls so good they're bad for the NBA? And it's an illustration of MJ just dangling the rest of the league, smiling.
Those were happier times.
Thank you, 847. Thank you for knowing that that was a riff on Come to Death Row.
I like it all. I'm good with it. Like, let's be honest. Chicago deserves this. They're a major city. They deserve the hate. You got to, if they hate you, that means they respect you. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. One of my friends once said, it's not called show friends. It's show business.
Yeah.
And yeah, 630 brings up a good point, too, on our text line here. The Ben Johnson comment was the first public comment. We don't know if something happened before that. Maybe LaFleur talked a little mess to Campbell or something else prior. And LaFleur was one of Sean McVay's assistants. Our boy Clay Harbor pointed that out as well.
We're gonna peel back the layers of the beef.
Your large adult son, Clay Harbor, pointed that out on the internet and went viral for it.
He's bigger than me, but I'll still take him down.
Yes, 630, Max Crosby would fit in perfectly as a villain in Chicago. Sure.
100%.
You can do your all-villainous dream team. I'm 100% here for that as well. That's always one that's created in the NBA, isn't it? We always do like the not enough ball team or the all-ridiculous team.
I love it all. Better yet, I love that those things that you're talking about right now, where you come up with the list and all that stuff, it's taking a backseat because guess what? First, we got a playoff game to deal with and might have another playoff game after that to go to the freaking Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
So I like the situation we're in right now. We are blessed and privileged to be in this situation.
I just took a breath. I just sighed. We have so much more coming up here on Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. I want to remind you, Ben Johnson speaks today at Halas Hall. That is coming up in a few minutes, so we will play back Ben Johnson's audio for you. And coming up next, there's a guy who was on to this before anybody else was. Now, wasn't he? Let's talk to Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio next.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.